This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Good afternoon, everyone. Scott Moore with you, filling in for Earl Robinson on Sports Talk today here on AM 870 WKAR. Our phone number is 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or you can call toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's toll-free at 877-952-7870. The 78 degrees and overcast skies here in the capital city, and what a better time with 78 degrees and a little bit of clouds to brighten the day of everyone involved and talk a little bit of college hockey. We're going to start off the show today with some college hockey talk, and who better to address that than the head coach of the Spartans of Michigan State, Tom Anastas. Tom, I saw you earlier this week and again last week. You look tan, rested, and ready for year two at the helm of the Spartan hockey team.
I am anxious to get going. We have the guys on campus, but we really can't do anything with them. And summer's going great. It is going by fast, and I am trying to spend a little bit of free time outside when I have some. So everything's good, Scott.
Well, you mentioned the guys are all here for the second semester of the summer session, but you mentioned you can't really get to. How much time can you spend with them, and in what context can you spend time with them?
Well, we really can't spend any meaningful time at all with them. I guess we could provide, you know, the direction, the academic support, and, you know, they have to do their training with our strength coach. But we are not permitted at this time to do any kind of coaching. So really it's more casual interaction when we see them around, and, you know, they come to the rink and work out as well, or if they're just coming here to change or skate. Like, we can't be involved in any of that, and we're not. Mm-hmm. But it's more just general interaction to see how they're doing.
Well, this is a change from what you did last year. Last year, the guys were here for the first semester, and then they all went home for the second semester. This year, you've gotten everybody in town for the second semester.
We did. And, you know, last year, Scott, was kind of a year of review for me. I wanted to kind of come in with my eyes wide open and see, you know, every aspect of the program, how things were done, and kind of make an assessment. And so in previous years, the players all stayed and went to the first semester, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I kind of looked into that to see what were the benefits and, you know, was it worth it, or were there different ways to go about doing it? And the one thing that we did do is we brought the freshmen in last year in the second summer semester. That was the first opportunity for them to come on campus. We got incredible feedback from them. They found it very helpful. One of the things that was missing was they really didn't get to meet a lot of their new teammates because none of them were here, or mm-hmm. very few of them were here. So we thought, you know, given that we can have everybody here at the same time, we have a very big freshman class, or a group of newcomers, because we have potential, you know, two transfers coming in as well. We thought it was a good time for them to be able to all meet each other, hopefully come together a little bit as a group on their own, and get their feet wet. And then the other part is they could skate, you know, informally when our pros are around, and they skate too. Mm-hmm. So they could see what it's like, you know, to be a pro and how pros go about doing things, and interact with former players here and see how they go about doing their business. So so far we've gotten very good feedback. And, you know, in all likelihood, we'll stay that course.
We're talking with Spartan head hockey coach Tom Anastas, starting year two of his reign as the head of the Spartan hockey team. You've been through the CCHA wars for a season. You've got that under your belt. Did it meet your expectations? Were there things that you weren't expecting to see that you did see?
Really, Scott, I didn't have any surprises. I pretty much knew what I was getting into. Having been the commissioner of the CCHA, I was very familiar with the program.
Sure.
So I expected the league to be incredibly competitive, and it certainly met those expectations. And so I didn't have any surprises. It's a very tough league. It's tough to win two nights in a row against any of the teams. You don't take winning for granted. And so, you know, we're going to approach things the same way this year because, like I said, we really didn't have any surprises last year.
Yeah, there was so much said about the way that you addressed the team the day that you were hired. And you got them together in the locker room and you looked them all in the eye and said, "You're my guys. I don't want to wait 2 years to win. We're going to start winning right away. You are my guys." Did the guys, to the best of your knowledge, kind of fall in line with that, or were there some that maybe you had to convince?
Well, you know, it's not something that we've openly talked about since that time, and I guess the way I would answer it is this. What my expectation would have been was hopefully they heard that message, and then after that time, hopefully at least it caught their attention, mm-hmm. and then they were going to watch what I did and the other coaches did to really support what we were saying, because at the same time, we were saying to them, "I don't really care what you've done in the past. We're going to judge you on what you do now. And when we're going to start determining that every single day, how you approach your school, how do you approach your time in the weight room, what kind of teammate are you, you know, how you represent the program." So that starts today. Your evaluation of me and the rest of the coaching staff, once we hired them, is the same way. So I think it captured their attention for sure. I wouldn't have expected that at that moment there was this incredible, magical buy-in to what we were going to do. Mm-hmm. But I think at least it was a foundation. It was intended to be a foundation to build on. I do think during the course of the year, the players responded very well, and they did see, because we, you know, we set high expectations. We told them we wanted to get to the Frozen Four. We wanted to be in the NCAA tournament. I think it's fair to say, Scott, you know, you're around the program all the time. Mm-hmm. Not many people had that expectation. Well, I wasn't making that up. I really sincerely believed if we did all the right things that we had a reasonable chance to achieve that. I think once the players started to believe in that themselves, that's when they bought in.
Talking with Spartan head hockey coach Tom Anastas, you had on last year's team a big senior class. The guys were established. They'd been around the program. You had an older team. This year, 12 new faces. You and your team got your work cut out for you this year.
We definitely do. It'll be a tremendous challenge for our team to be able to come off a real good season of progress last year and try to maintain that kind of momentum. Experience is invaluable. Certainly, skill kills in many ways, and we think we're, you know, improving our skill level, but there's nothing like experience, and we're going to be a very inexperienced team, and so it's going to take us time to really kind of evolve and come together. We're asking a lot of new guys to come in and adjust to college hockey. You know, we throw them right into the fire playing on the road on Olympic sheet ice at Minnesota, who will probably be the preseason, you know, maybe number one, number two team in the country, or a Frozen Four participant last year. But I think that's all good. I think those are exciting challenges. I think that's why you come to Michigan State. And I think we have a real good group of kids that are, you know, recognize that and are going to do everything they can to make that adjustment period as short-lived as possible. So, you know, we're asking a lot of the upperclassmen to take leadership roles and embrace the new people here and try to get them acclimated and help them feel part of the team as soon as possible. Because without a doubt, I think it really will be a challenging year in that regard.
Well, you've got the leadership of the team on the ice. Off the ice, you've got a new leadership role with the NCAA Rules Committees. Congratulations on being named the new chairman of that committee.
I don't know if I should say thank you or you know, how to respond to that. But, you know, I was happy to I was nominated for the position and to get on the committee. The chairman thing came out of the blue. I wasn't expecting that. But, you know, as you know, Scott, I want to try to play any role I can to help our sport and help our game. And so this gives me that opportunity to contribute beyond just our program, so I'm happy to do it.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about some of the new things that we'll see this year and where some of the proposals stand. One of the big ones is the potential move from the full face guard, whether it's plexiglass or a wire cage, to a proposal to move to a partial visor. Where does that whole thing stand now?
Well, that continues to have lots of dialogue and study, really. We are trying to develop facts that can support an argument that many of us in the game really feel is important. We think that in many ways the game has become is played in a reckless manner, and part of that is because the players feel invincible. They're mm-hmm. so well protected. And yet, we're not trying to make the game less safe from a safety and protection standpoint, and yet we want to have an environment that is safe to play in. And so as counterintuitive as it may seem, many of us feel that by lessening some of the protective equipment, you're actually making the game safer. Well, while we say that in theory, as having played and obviously coached, we don't have a ton of data to support that argument, and we're trying to do some research to develop that. And so, it has a ways to go. It's not something that's sitting on the table ready for a vote, but it is something that the Rules Committee has endorsed, at least from the standpoint of saying, hey, yeah, let's keep looking at this for men's Division I only. Mm-hmm. And so we are studying it. We will keep it in the forefront, and we'll be looking ahead, but it's not something that you'll see for next season.
Okay. One thing that we will see for next season is a new rule that Michigan State has some experience with. The goals can now be accepted. They can be counted, even if the net is up off of the ice a little bit, on the pegs, dislodged. This one, if I've got it correct, it all goes to the referee and his decision of whether he feels the goal was imminent or not.
That's correct. In our sport, where goal scoring has been eroding over the last decade, with maybe an occasional spike, we are looking for reasons to count goals and create that level of excitement. And so I think most people who watched our game in the NCAA tournament and saw that disallowed goal felt that, geez, I get the rule, but boy, that should be a goal. And so now the rules allow for that. It is a more liberal interpretation. And so as long as it is, as you mentioned, looks like it's an imminent and obvious goal, then the official is allowed to make that call.
The other one that I noticed that I wanted to bring up is we're almost out of time here. The fact that the committee has decided to allow 4-on-4 overtime, and I'm guessing that's at a conference level, kind of like the whole shootout thing was a couple of years ago. Am I on track with that?
It is, Scott, and I don't think it's likely that you'll see it in Division I. We were surprised that there wasn't a lot of support for that. In fact, the CCHA was the only league who really had support for that. But the reason we put it in the book the way we did, because personally, I'd love to see it, but our Division I men coaches body, really in a strong majority don't favor it. But the reason we put it in the book as we did is this would allow groups to use it if they choose to, just like the CCHA did the shootout. But the reason I don't think you'll see it in Division I is because we have the RPI and everybody's mm-hmm. going to want to make sure that games are affected in the same way. Division III does not use an RPI to determine teams to move on.
Okay.
So the Division III representatives on the Rules Committee, because our Rules Committee is comprised of men and women, Division I and III. It's not mm-hmm. just Division I men. So the Division III folks had said, hey, we have groups who would like to try this, and it's not an RPI issue for us because we don't use it.
Sure.
That's why we put it in the book. It's allowing groups to use it. I just don't think realistically you'll see it in Division I. Maybe a game or two, or maybe an exhibition.
Yeah, I was going to ask about
adopted.
I was going to ask about exhibitions. Is it something that maybe you might see in an exhibition game where both coaches agree, yeah, let's take a look at it?
Yeah, I would definitely do it. If we're playing an exhibition, I'm not talking about a non-conference game because those count in the RPI.
Right.
But an exhibition game, say at the University of Windsor, or next year we play the USA Hockey National Team Program, You know, that might be something that we agree to with the other team, and now we have the liberty to do so.
Well, there are other rules that we'll be able to talk about. We'll do that another time, maybe on our weekly radio show when we get that fired up in October.
Sounds good, Scott.
All right, Tom, thanks for taking a little time out to bring the cool of the hockey rink into a warm summer day.
No problem. You guys have a great day. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks a lot. That's Tom Anastas, the head hockey coach at Michigan State University. And even though we've been talking hockey, we're going to be talking a little bit of football coming up. We'll check in Chicago at the Big Ten football meetings right after this quick break. We'll be back with more of Sports Talk after this break on AM 870.
Syria's two largest cities, pillars of the government, and isolated from the worst of the fighting until this past week. Government fighter jets rained bombs into the streets of Aleppo while rebels took over parts of Damascus, at least for a while. I'm Neil Conan, a rare glimpse of life inside Syria. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
That was Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 p.m. right here on AM 870.
It's good to have you with us today. I'm Scott Pohl. Here's our weather forecast. A high of 85 degrees today. It'll be windy with rain and thunderstorms. Tonight, there's a slight chance of rain and thunderstorms, the low 64. Showers and thunderstorms likely with a high in the low 80s tomorrow. Saturday, sunny with a high of 81.
Thank you very much, Scott. Had a chance to see Scott before we went on the air. He and I are old friends. We've known each other for a lot longer than either of us would like to admit, that's for sure. 78 degrees on a Thursday afternoon. It is now 22 past the top of the hour, and we are joined by Adam Ruff from the Spartan Sports Network, who is in Chicago at the Big Ten football media days. I would imagine, Adam, that the buzz is all about Penn State and the NCAA sanctions.
Oh, Scott, are you here or something? I mean, how is
how could I guess like that?
It's like we just can't get the two words Penn and State, you know, out of our minds. Just can't let it go. Hopefully after today, though. I mean, every coach I've seen so far has been obviously asked that time and time and time again. Mm-hmm. And it's far past the entertainment point where it's just like, please stop. Please. Yeah. I mean, there's actual other football teams in this conference.
So, and I'm sure they'd like to talk about their own teams a little bit.
Yeah, it was funny. I was in the TV room and the Purdue rotation got around to the table we were at, and I think probably the first five or six questions for Danny Hope was about Penn State. And finally someone broke the ice and asked him about his team's expectations, and of course that got a big chuckle. So I have a feeling that's going on with all the coaches.
Well, I only have one other thing to address about Penn State. You know, there's been a lot talked about the fact that as part of the NCAA sanctions, their players are able to leave to transfer anywhere else and play without sitting out a year penalty for transferring. And there may be one or two that actually do that. A lot of them came out yesterday showing support for Penn State, saying they weren't interested in trying to transfer. But really, when you think about it, in reality, not many schools would have scholarships available to offer these guys, would they?
Yeah, well, I mean, when you're in the SEC, something like that, they always over-offer people, and then they drop guys off the team later. So I don't know what they're planning on. I mean, they were talking about, you know, Silas Redd going to USC, and he was one of the guys who's going to be here at Media Days, and he's not, because apparently he could be going to USC. Well, USC's already short scholarships because of their sanctions. So, I mean, it's just, I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they always seem to get around it. But, you know, if they're going to get one of those guys, you know they're going to make it happen somehow. You know, they find the loophole, or they just, you know, find out how to pull wool over the NCAA's eyes. I don't know. But that is an interesting point. Now, I don't think guys that are maybe juniors and seniors on Penn State would be so apt to transfer. Definitely not the seniors. I mean, what are they going to do really for just 1 year?
Right.
But you know, it's an interesting dynamic because it does affect, you know, those places that possibly they would transfer to. I mean, I was thinking, you know, if Silas Redd, for example, is running back, and he was an All Big Ten performer last year. What if he came to Michigan State? I mean, that would have a big impact on those other tailbacks like Nick Hill and Larry Caper, and maybe Le'Veon Bell wouldn't get as many carries. And I don't think as a coach you really want that, because these are your guys you already have on the team, and you're kind of getting a you know, 1 year help, kind of like the high schoolers go to play college basketball for 1 year.
Right.
So I you know, it's interesting. Dynamic. I don't know if it's always going to be a positive impact when the guy's transferring to another school or not. So I guess the storylines are going to be going on for quite a while about, Penn State and all the ramifications of everything, everything about it.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking with Adam Ruff from the Spartan Sports Network. He is in Chicago at the Big Ten Media Day. And let's turn the focus to Michigan State. The Spartans getting a fair amount of attention over the summer. All summer long, players have been showing up on various watch lists. This morning, it was announced that Johnny Adams and Will Golston have been recognized by the Big Ten Conference as players to watch.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and it's about time. They've definitely earned it, and we all know that the defense has earned it. I mean, there's no question it's going to be one of the most fearsome defenses in the conference. I asked a question to Monty Ball of Wisconsin. Amidst all the Penn State questions, I said, what's it like playing Michigan State? Well, what do you think when you play Michigan State's defense? And he just kind of, it took him a second to think of a word, but he kind of had an exasperated look on his face because he knows how tough they are. He knows how hard they hit, how well they pursue, and their nose for the football. And obviously you'd think with Golston and Johnny Adams, you got a guy that's putting pressure on the quarterback, and you got a guy that's going to take advantage of that pressure by picking balls off or at least knocking them away. So you got a couple of very good players. A lot of guys are projecting, a lot of pundits, if you will, I guess, are projecting them to go into the first round of the NFL draft this next year.
Well, I don't know about you. I will state in public, I'm nervous about the lack of experience at the skill positions on the offense. But then again, with the power that the defense has, they may be winning these games 10-7.
Well, I've been talking to a few people, and that's what guys have been asking me. They say, oh, I know the defense is good, but what about Andrew Maxwell, the receivers? Well, I think they have a little time to learn, and they can get away with some stuff because the defense is supposed to be so good. I mean, this team, the old quote, defense wins, offense wins games, defense wins championships. Well, the defense, if Michigan State's going to win a championship, will be what gets it done. But it allows time for Andrew Maxwell and those young receivers to really develop and make something of themselves this year. And I think that's a luxury to have. And I think that takes a little pressure off a guy like Andrew Maxwell, first-year starter, knowing that, maybe if I do screw up this one game, in the first, second quarter, whatever, my defense is going to back me up.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as I play within myself, as long as I don't make awful critical errors, completely dumb passes for pick sixes or whatnot, I think they'll be okay. And in the second half of the season, you might not notice a big difference or a big drop-off with the offense. Because, last year, the offensive line was young. They were inexperienced, weren't as good. This year, it's opposite. I've seen some rankings that have Michigan State the second-best O-line in the Big Ten. Last year, they were the last. And then you got Le'Veon Bell. So I think there's plenty of support there for Andrew Maxwell and his receivers, both on the offense and the defense, to make up for that and give them some time and give them some help.
Well, and the other thing that I remember hearing about Andrew Maxwell, I think it was Andrew was actually talking about the fact that, he doesn't have a lot of game experience, and, the receivers don't have a lot of game experience, but Andrew and the receivers have actually been working together for a couple of years because they've been getting all the second-team reps.
Yeah, it's important to remember. I remember talking to Kirk Cousins about this. He and B.J. Cunningham were redshirted when they got here. And he spoke admirably of their freshman year, and that's really when they developed their tandem, really. I mean, their record-setting tandem was that redshirt freshman year. I mean, Andrew's been here. This is his fourth year in the system. He was redshirt. So, he had time to really develop with some of these other receivers. Now, there are some younger guys on the team, but he's had time. He's had those reps with the second team, obviously. And so that's very important. And I'm going to be curious to ask him, what he learned about offseason preparation from Kurt and those other guys and what he's been doing with the young receivers. And I'm sure we'll get some very good answers out of him, because he kind of reminds me of Kirk in the way he's very thoughtful in his answers. He's a very intelligent guy. He's a very humble guy. So I'm sure he's put in some quality work with those receivers this year.
Well, as far as Big Ten Media Days, who have you talked to so far, and what are they saying?
Who have I talked to? Well, you know, it's like, how do you keep track of it? There's so many people, but...
having been through it, I know exactly what you're saying there.
I mean, you could pick anyone, whether it was Howard Griffith or, you know, Dave Rebson or whatever. Aaron Andrews is here. I've seen Desmond Howard. I haven't talked to him at all, but most people... You know, I guess you hear on more of a national scale, oh, Michigan's going to have a big bounce back here. But when you talk to the people who cover the Big Ten, when you talk to the people who are around it all the time, they're still convinced because of Michigan State's defense that they'll probably finish ahead of Michigan in terms of the division standings because of that defense. And you like the fact that Michigan State's schedule, everyone seems to like the fact that Michigan State's schedule, a lot of their difficult games are at home, like it was for Michigan last year when mm-hmm. Michigan went on to win 11 games. That really helped them. It's the opposite for them this year. So I think those things are going to, you know, play a big factor. And a lot of people around here seem to be in agreement on that for the most part. Obviously, it's, you know, you never really know what's going to happen, but I think a lot of people from the Midwest aren't exactly thinking Michigan's going to just run away with it or they're the clear-cut favorite for the division. So that's the majority of what I'm hearing. But I'm always asked about Andrew Maxwell. So, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. But, you know, like I said, most people here like Michigan State.
We're talking with Adam Ruff from the Spartan Sports Network. I know that the Thursday of Big Ten Media Days is a busy day. There's all kinds of stuff going on. What have you done so far, and what do you have to do yet today?
Well, so far, I know we're in the Megan and I are in the TV workroom for the first time. We're going to be having video on our website, and so that's what we've been doing so far, just getting video. I think Illinois has just come through, Purdue, Ohio State, Wisconsin, and they just rotate in, and that's pretty much going to be our whole day. And Michigan State, I think, is the second-to-last team to come in there, so we'll be waiting for them. But the rest of the day, you know, we're just going to be hanging out here trying to get some other interviews off the podium and whatnot, and get them ready for everybody to check out on our website. And we're going to have fun and hang out in Chicago, I think, a little bit tonight. You can't come here and not have fun, right?
Well, I did notice a couple of pictures on Facebook last night. It seems like all you were doing was eating.
Yeah, sorry. There was a guy, I know you saw it, there's a guy we were eating at Giordano's Pizza last night, real Chicago deep dish pizza, and their guy looked like Napoleon Dynamite. So I had to post a picture of him on Facebook, but yeah, I mean, we actually walked from our hotel, which is, I think it's 2.5 miles or 3 miles from the Chicago River, south of the Chicago River. Megan and I walked all the way there and back last night with dinner in between. So that's why you saw pictures of dinner, because we were trying to replenish ourselves to help make the walk back.
Oh, you got to get down to the Billy Goat while you're there, though.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about that.
You
know what?
The
L train station was like 20 minutes away, so I was like, well, I might as well just walk there anyways. I don't like going to big cities and just cabinet everywhere. You got to see the city. So.
Sure. Sure, exactly. You mentioned the video aspect that's coming to the website. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, we've added Megan. She's going to be on tomorrow, Megan Bauman. And, you know, we're trying to bring we're trying to be more well-rounded group, as you know, Scott, in terms of providing more for our listeners, for Spartan fans, and give them the access that we provide that maybe other outlets don't necessarily get. So we're trying something new. We hope it works. Since we're radio people, and you know, so far so good. We plan on having, you know, press conference stuff. We plan on doing television news stories on Michigan State throughout the year, football, basketball, hockey, who knows how far we want to take it. But, you know, as you know, we're just starting this up, and we don't exactly know where it's going to take us, but we're hoping to get a whole lot of more coverage for Michigan State this way.
All right. Well, Adam Ruff, thanks for checking in from Chicago, and now get back to work, okay?
If I have to, Scott, I enjoyed the break.
Okay. Thanks again, Adam.
All right, no problem, Scott.
That's Adam Ruff from the Spartan Sports Network checking in from the Windy City. The Big Ten Media Day continues for the rest of the day today, and then there's more stuff to do tomorrow morning. And as he mentioned, we will check in with the new kid on the block, Megan Bauman, who has joined us at the Spartan Sports Network, and she's going to be doing a lot of our video work as well as some audio stuff as well. So we will check in with her tomorrow afternoon right here on Sports Talk 870. And get an idea of what her first experience at the Big Ten Media Day was like. It is now 1:36 on Thursday afternoon. Temperature still 79 degrees outside in the capital city, and we are open line for the rest of the show. 355-9527 is the phone number. That's 355-WKAR, or you can call toll-free 877-952-7870. That's 877-952-7870, or if you have a phone that has letters on it, like the old style phones, that's 877-WKAR-870. And some of the things we can talk about. We just talked about Michigan State and the Big Ten Media Days and what to expect out of the Spartans. What are you expecting out of the Spartans? What do you think Michigan State will be like this year? Do you think that they'll be able to get the offense together with the new cogs in place, or is going to be slim pickings maybe for this season for Michigan State football? You can call us and let us know what you think at 355-9527. We've got some other things that are going on around the world of sports, and we will detail those in just a minute. But first, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this on WKAR AM 870.
The sex abuse scandal at Penn State.
Cover up.
And in the Catholic Church.
Cover up.
Even the cheating scandal in Atlanta's public schools.
Cover up.
The allegations all involve top officials who decided to protect their institution at the expense of the truth. I'm Neil Cunningham, the making of a cover up. Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
That's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 p.m. right here on AM 870 WKAR Radio.
Today will be windy with rain and thunderstorms and a high of 85 degrees. There's a slight chance of more rain and thunderstorms tonight, our low 64. On Friday, showers and thunderstorms are likely, the high tomorrow 82 degrees, and Saturday will be sunny, and the high will stay in the low 80s. I'm Scott Pohl.
Thanks again for the update, Scott. 79 degrees at 1:38 on Thursday afternoon. And again, we are open line at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-952-7870. We can take your opinions on any topic. One thing that I would like the listeners to help me out with, for the first time in, I believe it's 6 years, No, it's 8 years. The first time in 8 years, next week, I will be camping. We're firing up the tent and setting it up. We're going up north, and it has been since 2004 since I have slept in a tent. So if any of you are campers, especially tent campers, and you have any tips for me, any hints for me, because this is relatively new territory for me now. I was amazed that I was actually able to get the tent set up last weekend and remembered how to do it. So if you have some hints or advice for me about going camping for the first time in years, give me a call at 355-9527. That's 355-9527 or toll-free 877-952-7870. This is going to be interesting because since the last time that my wife and I went tent camping, we both have started using CPAP machines for sleep apnea. And so we had to make sure that we had sites that had electrical service on them so that we can do that. This is going to be a unique tent. I've been joking with people that it's more like a hybrid. It's a tent per, a mix between a tent and a camper. No wheels involved. We are going on the ground and all that, but we're going to have electricity, and we may even take some fans up just in case the temperatures get a little too obsessive there. But so if you've got some advice for me as far as things that I should watch for in camping for the first time in 8 years, fire up the phone calls and let me know at 355-9527. We have a phone call right now. Let's take that. It's Victor from Lyons. Victor, how you doing today?
Well, I'm doing quite well, thank you.
You have some advice for me?
Yeah, I think you ought to set your camp up around a bunch of blind campers so we can knock it all down and see if you can remember how to reset it up.
Well, I did get it set up in the backyard last week, and it was interesting because, you know, I figured, all right, now I'm hoping that I've got the instructions from when we bought the tent. We did have the instructions, but the last time it had been put away, it got put away a little bit damp, and the instructions got damp, and trying to pull the pages apart was interesting.
Yeah, well, if it would have been in Braille, it would have been even harder. But what do you think? What do you think about the Tigers? You think that they're gonna start playing better ball, or do you think they got to struggle for the next month or so?
You know, I have been in the minority that hasn't been all that worried about the Detroit Tigers this year, and I'll tell you why, Victor. The main reason is I understood that Prince Fielder was going to have to take some time to learn American League pitchers. You know, he's been in the National League his entire career, and so he's got to learn what their tendencies are, just like they've got to learn his. And so I wasn't as upset about the slow start that Prince Fielder was having. And I also realized that early in the season, whether Brandon Inge was playing well or not, you got to remember that this was one of the glue guys in that locker room. And when he got cut loose, they had to develop a new leader in the locker room. It looks to me like things are starting to come together now. And, you know, everybody was saying, well, you know, you got to watch out. After the All-Star break, they've got this killer schedule. Well, they've been lights out since the All-Star break, since about a week before the All-Star break. And I think that there's good things coming up for this team. I think that we're finally seeing the team we thought we were going to be seeing. And so I am not as worried about the Tigers, certainly, as many people were 2 or 3 weeks ago. That's for sure. What do you think, Victor?
Well, I personally think that hopefully they'll win and sweep that series with Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
But then they play it's Toronto and Boston. Is that correct?
That sounds right.
Okay, now
I mean it's a tough schedule.
They can get to this because it was a 9-game road trip.
Uh huh.
They can get through this one 6-3 because then they got a long stretch where they're home. I forget exactly how long, but it's probably the longest stretch where they're going to be home. I think for the month of August.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to put some separation between them and Chicago and Cleveland, then they're going to have to play their best ball during that homestand and clean up when they should be cleaning up.
Mm-hmm. A lot of it, I think, is going to depend on how those teams, Detroit, Chicago, and Cleveland, can improve their squads leading up to the trade deadline.
Because I don't think Detroit can improve theirs much more.
There's not a lot. I mean, I like the fact that they...
Getting rid of Ryan Rayburn and getting somebody for him. Ryan Rayburn and Delman Young and getting somebody for them would be an improvement, but I don't know if they're going to do that.
I like the move of bringing Omar Infante in to play second base because that has been kind of the weak link on that team.
Well, that helped because, you know, every championship team has to be strong up the middle. You know, I'm talking about second, short, and center fielder, mm-hmm. and they are now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and of course, you know, your pitcher and catcher, of course.
Sure.
But strong, if you're strong up the middle, then... You know,
well, think back to the Tigers when they had Lou and Tram and Chet Lemon in center field. I mean, that was...
Or back in 68 when they had McAuliffe and... Mm-hmm.
Let's see, who?
You know, and Mickey Stanley in
well, he played in the World Series. I can't draw to mind the shortstop, the regular shortstop. That was before they got Eddie Brinkman. I can't draw to mind who the regular shortstop
Ray
was
Orvis
on that team.
Ray Orvis played short, but he also played third, I think. But, I mean, you know, those teams are good models. Detroit needs to fashion their team this year and their teams in the future after the model they used to win the World Championships in 68 and 84.
Yep, exactly. Victor, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
I appreciate
it. You have a great day, great weekend, and enjoy yourself camping.
I will do that.
Make
thanks.
Make sure you take an air mattress, man. It's a lot easier than sleeping on the ground.
Oh, yeah. We got the air mattress. We're all set with that.
Sounds like you're in good shape.
All right.
Have a great day.
You bet. Thanks, you, Victor. That's Victor from Lyons calling in. And you can call in as well at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-952-7870. Got this note that I wanted to pass along from the Greater Lansing Sports Authority. The Capital City Stealth, if anybody was listening the last time I got a chance to fill in for Earl about 3 weeks ago, we talked with the people from the Capital City Stealth, the minor league football team. They have their final home game of the regular season this Saturday, July 28th, 7 p.m. The home games were supposed to be played at Sexton High School, but a late change necessitated moving them down to Matt Goble Field in Charlotte. The Stealth have won four games in a row. They're 5-2 on the regular season. They're playing for one of the top spots in the upcoming playoffs. They have two regular season games after this weekend, but this is their final home game of the regular season. So if you're looking for something to do on Saturday, and I understand the weather is going to be very, very nice, head on down to Charlotte and support the Capital City Stealth in their final home game of the regular season as they are taking on the Detroit Seminoles, both teams 5-2 on the season. We had a caller who didn't want to go on the air who said that he's pretty sure that Ray Euler was the regular shortstop for the 68 Tigers. Like I said, I remember Mickey Stanley stepped in and played shortstop spur of the moment during the playoffs, during the World Series. Because of an injury, but and did quite well there. A lot of people didn't know what to expect out of taking an outfielder like Mickey Stanley and teaching him how to play shortstop for the World Series, but he made pretty good work of it. So Ray Euler, we hear, it was the shortstop, the regular shortstop for the 1968 Tigers. It's 1:48 on Thursday afternoon, 79 degrees under overcast skies in the capital city, and we still got about 10 minutes of the program left. And the lines are open at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-952-7870. Again, looking for advice for my camping trip next week. If you have any advice for me, give me a call and spread the wealth, so to speak. There's a couple other things in the news that I caught this morning that I wanted to bring up and see if we could get some input from the audience on. Maurice Jones-Drew down in Jacksonville is talking about not showing up for training camp this year because he's disappointed in the deal that he signed. He's got a contract for two more years, $9 million that he'll be paid over those final 2 years of the contract, but he says he's not going to show up. Certainly, I feel that is his choice, but if the team wanted to negotiate because things hadn't been going so well lately, where would Maurice Jones-Drew check in on that? Would he agree to it? I certainly doubt that. In my mind, here's the problem. It's not a two-way street. Player underperforms, he expects the team to stand up to the deal that he signed. If he overperforms, he doesn't feel that he needs to do the same thing. How do you feel about it? 355-9527. Or you can call toll-free 877-952-7870. Like I said, you know, it's his right to walk away from a contract and say, okay, I don't like the terms of that contract. I'm not going to play anymore. That certainly is his right. You know, if I wanted to stop working tomorrow, I could say, I'm not going to work anymore. I'm just not coming in. But I wouldn't have any income either. And that's the same way with Maurice Jones-Drew. My point of view is you signed the contract. You agreed to it. You knew how long the contract was for. You knew what the financial terms were. Live up to your word. Live up to your word, Maurice Jones-Drew, and honor the contract, play it out. And at the end of that contract, if things are still going well, then you've got all the right in the world to go back to the team and say, pay me now. But to say that I've got 2 years left on my contract and I want to renegotiate, that's just not right in my mind. The other thing that I noticed, and we talked a little bit about Penn State with Adam and all the questions down in Chicago on that one. Penn State head coach Bill O'Brien is admitting that members of his team are being recruited by other college teams. He understands that. He says that's playing within the rules. That's the way it is. But the bigger issue is this incoming recruiting class and who's going to go from that recruiting class and renege on their commitments that they may have already made. We'll get into that in just a minute, but first let's head back to the phones and say hi to Jerry in Hazlitt. Jerry, how you doing this afternoon?
Pretty good, Scott. How about yourself?
I'm all right.
Your question is pretty much a no-brainer, which is why someone like myself is calling.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, I'm pretty much a player's guy, primarily because I'm always suspicious of people that don't like to see their books. But in this case, there's just no defense for that. I mean, Jones would have been better served to privately go to management and say, look, I don't like this deal. What can you do? If there's nothing they could do, then he could have followed up with, I would like to go somewhere, trade me.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, kind of keep these things behind closed doors. And because now, essentially, what he's done is he's forced management's hand and probably drove down his own value in any future transaction, as well as, oh, by the way, the public in this particular economy is not particularly sympathetic to high-paid athletes who want to basically renege on a signed contract.
There is that, and if I remember correctly, I believe I heard that he had some contract issues right out of college, that he was a holdout on that and didn't like what was going on. So he's got a history here.
Shame on him. Get a better agent. Okay?
Yeah.
That's not a whole lot of sympathy for any player in any sport, you know, that's in his particular position. But
So you're with me on live up to your deal.
Yeah, I don't want to hit this too hard, Scott, but that's not exactly a bold position we're taking here.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's pretty much common sense, but it amazes me how for pro athletes, and I'm assuming the people who represent them allow them to do this when it comes to contractual situations, because it's really very counterproductive. I can't imagine, unless a guy is really so unhappy that, you know, he feels like he's in some type of bondage or hates the town he's playing in so much that he would put this out to the public. It always comes back to nail him in so many ways. I don't see the upside.
You know, it would be interesting to see how a player would react to a team putting in a buyout in the contract. You know, you hear about coaches getting buyouts in their contract that, you know, yeah, you can leave before the contract reaches its term, but you have to pay us so much to get out of the contract. I don't know whether that's in player contracts or not.
You may have seen a lot more of those before free agency in any sport, Scott. But look, I'm generally in favor of whatever is mutually agreed on between the parties.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Whether it's outlandish or whether it's conservative or a little odd or unusual or benefits one side or the other. If everybody goes in with their eyes wide open, I have no problem with it. But once it's signed, a deal is a deal.
So, a deal is a deal, exactly.
And as far as the Tigers, I'm not sure the injury, there was an injury in 68. I believe they wanted to get another bat into the lineup, and for the life of me, I can't imagine who. Ray Arthur hit around 190 that year on a team that won 103 games, and Mayo Smith decided that he could, you know, Mickey Stanley wouldn't hurt him at shortstop, and he could get another bat as well as another reasonably decent glove in the lineup to face what, you know, what was a pretty powerful St. Louis Cardinals team.
Well, that year. My memory may be taxed on that. I was all of 8 years old back then, but.
Well, we could have dueling banjos about taxed memories.
Oh, my memory gets taxed a whole lot more than that.
Yeah, that would. We'll save that for another call.
Okay.
Have a good one,
Jerry. Thanks for the call. That's Jerry from Hazlitt. We've got about 4 minutes left in the show. Let me get back to this deal with Penn State, something interesting that I saw online today. I mentioned the bigger issue, rather than players transferring out of Penn State right now, could be the impact on the recruiting class. Christian Hackenberg, if you haven't heard of him, you may hear more about him as the fall goes on. He is considered by some recruiting services to be the top quarterback recruit in the nation. Last February, he made a commitment. He verbally committed to Penn State. Now, a verbal commitment is worth the paper that it's written on. It isn't. Nothing is solid until you sign the national letter of intent, and Mr. Hackenberg can't do that until next year, February. But he now has announced that he may be rethinking his commitment to Penn State that he made last February. The rising senior from Fork Union Military Academy in Virginia says he will visit the campus to do some fact-finding. His high school coach says that Hackenberg has been brought up to, and this is the quote, he has been brought up to understand that his word matters, and when he says something, he means it. Now, excuse me, but when I hear, what I hear out of that statement is, when the going gets tough, I may just get going to someplace else. In my mind, you go to a school because you feel a connection with that school, the campus, and the staff. In this case, the only thing that's changed since last February when Hackenberg made that commitment is that the team won't be able to play in the postseason until he's a redshirt junior. Same situation that Andrew Maxwell is in this year, redshirt junior. So about the time that maybe he becomes a starting quarterback in Happy Valley would be the time that the team would be able to return to the postseason. If I'm a coach, if I'm Bill O'Brien, I have to wonder if I really want a player who would turn tail and hide because of a little bit of adversity. Think about that. Do you want this guy who's thinking all of a sudden, well, you know, I can't play in the postseason for 3 years, the first 3 years that I'm on campus? You know, the first of the 4 years, he's still in high school. That doesn't affect him at all. They're still going to be on TV. They still are playing in the Big Ten Conference, so they're going to have high-profile road games, high-profile home games. They're going to be covered. He is going to be seen. There are going to be scouts at all of his games. The only difference is that he will not have the opportunity to play in a Big Ten championship game. He won't have an opportunity to play in a postseason bowl game. He won't get the feel-good trip at the end of the year with all the swag that the guys come up with for playing at a bowl game. It's the only difference. I certainly hope that Christian Hackenberg's coach is correct in his statement about saying that when he says something, he means it. And I hope that he will wind up and do what at least I feel is the right thing. Thank you very much for spending the last hour with me talking sports. Thanks to Victor and Jerry for calling in. Thanks to Tom Anastas and Adam Ruff for helping with the show as well. Again, tomorrow we'll talk more Big Ten football with Megan Bauman, the new kid at the Spartan Sports Network, and we'll talk curling with the president of the Lansing Curling Club. So you'll want to join in with us then. We've been listening to radio station WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 on AM 870. Come back and join us tomorrow. Have yourself a safe and pleasant evening. I'll hear from you tomorrow on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Till the next time, have fun, everyone.
From NPR News.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.